Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What's up, everybody? It's Joe LaPuma, the Complex Sneakers Podcast. We're back. Episode 8, my favorite number 8. I'm with my guys, Matt Welty.
What's up?
And, of course, to my left, Brendan Dunn.
I haven't eaten lunch, but I did have a croissant, and I think there's a warm slice of cheese pizza waiting for me after this. So.
Is it still going to be warm?
Yeah, it's not going to be warm.
There's a microwave somewhere, right?
Okay, here. But the biggest topic before we dive in. Matt Welty hasn't worn a hat 2 days in a row. Matt Welty has not worn a hat
two days in a row,
and this is a new year, new him.
Yeah, he was
the confidence level.
Yeah, Joe is making jokes because it's funny because I've in the past like 6 years, I feel like everyone's seen me every single day with a hat
with good reason.
Yeah, and they have. I'm finally feel confident.
I love
in
it.
The hairline. And the joke that Joe made that I actually made about myself. First is I guess I supposedly look like a skinnier Fedor Emelianenko without the hat on.
Exactly. So if we're trying to paint a picture here, that's exactly who he looks
like. Are you happy with that comparison, Welty? Is that where you want
to
be?
Yeah, that's good. People were comparing me to Peter Rosenberg, which was kind of
I got a lot of those DMs.
Yeah?
Yeah, people, yeah.
Comparing, you got DMs about
random people DMing me photos of Peter Rosenberg saying, is this your coworker?
Wow, that's a weird place to be.
Brendan,
you're getting DM'd about two other people that are
Brendan Dunn was getting I was getting added all week because there was a guy in a Fenty lookbook
that had the Rihanna thing.
Well, we know that's definitely not
a lot of people tagging me that on Twitter too. By the way, follow me on Twitter. I finally surfaced after 10 long years. I'm on there at Brendan Dunn. Throw me a follow.
He's on Twitter. Also, another bit of news, you know, we talked about his mom resurfacing the original Mars Yard sneakers.
Yeah,
I saw them in the office yesterday.
Yeah, rarely when I send a rare pair of shoes in the mail do I pay for insurance, but I had her dig them out of my brother's closet in Portland, undisclosed location. That's all I'll say about the location. And then I paid her to insure it up to like $8,000 or something like
that. You guys remember, like, it'd be like Saturday morning and you'd be listening to the radio and they'd have people call in. They're like, what are you selling? And they would be like, hey, I have like a pickup truck. I want this much.
What station was that?
What is
I don't remember.
This?
Seriously, I don't
you
remember
You interrupted
that.
My shit for this?
No, but what I'm saying is that like, that's what you should do right now. You have the opportunity to list the shoes live on air.
No.
How much do you want for them?
The shoes have been taken care of.
Okay. Over, guess how much you're selling them for?
They have changed hands.
Okay.
Have they been sold?
I offered you what on the podcast? 6 racks?
That's not enough, Joe. Oh.
It's higher than 8?
Keep going.
Higher than 10?
You can buy them from Flight Club if you want them.
Wow. Okay. Starting off the year with a big bag.
Trying.
Not from Reebok.
Not from Reebok, but there you go.
Exactly. As much as I would love to banter about Welty not wearing a hat and you are reselling, we have a guest that I feel like we could talk to for hours. Today we have a special guest on the podcast, someone who was born into the sneaker business and has carried the torch of his family store for over 40 years. He literally made his first sneaker sale when he was 7 years old, and he's never looked back, establishing the aptly titled Packer Shoe Stores as a legendary destination. Some call him the Sneaker King in New Jersey. Please welcome Mike Packer.
Thank you.
That's, Mike, happy to have you here.
Yeah, they had me doing other things before I was 7, but I think my parents will get
7 years old.
I mean, yeah, it was, I have pictures, stories. I mean, I was in a carriage. I mean, my mom, when she married my dad, she gave up being a school teacher and went in to work in the business, and it was 100% family.
And this was in Yonkers, though. I know
Yonkers, Ashburton Avenue. Yeah. And it was there when my grandfather started, and unfortunately passed away early. And then my father had to get into the business when he was going to NYU. And they lived above the store, actually. It's literally was there forever.
And that was Packer Bros shoes at the time?
I mean, it was Packer Brothers when it first started.
Mm-hmm. 1907. If you want
to know the family politics behind it of, like, people not talking to each other anymore and stuff like that, which probably will probably kill the hour.
Happens in every family.
I have some of that over sneakers in my family as well.
Listen.
Yeah. But, then something through when the Depression and tax liens and all this other nonsense, which thankfully doesn't affect me anymore. So
Do you remember what that first pair you sold?
Probably a pair of Royals, because that's all everybody was buying back then. A pair of canvas, either Pro Keds or Royals. But we were not, sneakers was a part of it, but it was literally from, women's, it was Tip Top meets what Packer is.
Shout
now,
out to Lester.
Right? Oh, Lester's, I should have, you should wear a tie. When you have him on the show, you should all wear ties.
Lester Wasserman. Google him. Google him. Mike, so real quick, the general history of the store, like you said, founded in 1907, Yonkers back then, and then you kind of helped it reemerge in around 2003 in T-Neck, is that right, as like a sneaker boutique in the dawn of that era?
Yeah. I mean, it's I was like a good soldier, went to college, went to law school. I actually practiced for almost 10 years. One of my last things that I was doing on the venture capital side. And I'm the guy that was responsible for putting all those Major League bobblehead little miniatures and all the post cereals back in the day.
Wow.
Okay.
So
it's one for the resume.
But it was really the best thing that ever happened to me, because I was thrust into going over to Asia where I never had been before. And I think it was back and forth in Hong Kong probably between, 6 or 7 times, literally within a calendar year.
When is this? What year is this?
This is 2001, 2002.
Okay.
And it's something where going over there, you just saw everything that you heard about here a little bit, but it also was really not bubbling, but you were able to go there. And when you saw, some of the stuff that was coming out there.
Sneaker-wise,
yeah. And you're like, this is cool as shit. I was coming back with stuff, and it was literally that just bubbling then, and thankfully what I was doing then sort of gave me a lot of time to understand, what it was that this maybe could be.
And yeah.
Even before that, moving to Teaneck, the first thing I ever said to my wife is like, this place needs a sneaker place. It's Bergen County. It's just so much there. And she got tired of me just talking about it over and over and over again. It's get up and just get off your ass. It's shit, get off the pot. And
yeah,
decided to do it. It was literally right around the time when Nort was downtown. I literally remember going into Nort probably, and I kick myself now because 360 Toy was right next door to there. And I could have bought any cause that I wanted for anything. But it's also the time when you walked into Nort and bought the Safari Air Max ones were sitting on the, on the shelf. But those who knew, and I think Neil was behind the counter then.
For those who don't know, by the way, Nort was a Stash's sneaker store that was in New York, and they had one in Berlin as well. I only ever went to the one in Berlin.
San Francisco, I believe, that popped up. But yeah, it was a time where that and then Undefeated was doing what they were doing. I had never been to Undefeated, but I think it was either the first or second Complex magazine that I picked up had pictures of Undefeated. And that's really how all this stuff got in motion. And I vividly do remember, and I think I still have one of the emails that alludes to it. People in the industry thought I was literally nuts. They told me, you're batshit crazy.
For opening a
store in Teaneck, let alone Jersey. My parents still had the store in Yonkers, and I was working there on the weekends and helping and, making some extra money and stuff like that. And it was something that we had all the accounts, we had all the relationships, and it just was sort of taking what that was at that time. And again, my parents, they worked their whole lives there. My dad worked his whole life there, and they're retired in Florida now. But he was resistant to change back then when Nike would – I remember growing up with the Nike rep coming over to my parents' house for Sunday
dinner,
taking out – samples. I have pictures of my son, who's now 25, literally in piles of the first Dions and stuff like that.
Wow.
It was a different time, but my dad sort of stayed the same, and it was sneakers were literally a very small, I mean, decent part of the business, but not like what it is today.
When you opened it as a boutique, were you stocking it with all that stuff you were finding in Asia, or what sneakers did you have on the shelves?
I mean, there was a film that Nike did that never got released where they filmed Adam Levitin, and
of course Air Rev.
It was M's, it was a couple other guys who were digging in the store. Mm-hmm. And there was
in your store,
in Ashburton. I mean, there was so much stuff. I mean, when I was still a lawyer and I was bored as hell, I mean, that stash that they had there, or you know, that shit was on eBay all day long. I mean, it's.
Did you? Were you selling them?
Yes, I was selling them, Matt, and you can ask me that, and I'll tell you that straight. Yes.
Do you want to do the honors?
You have resold sneakers.
Oh, 100%. I was actually to the point of. That I joined PayPal, I think, in their second week.
Wow.
Well, it gets better and then stupider at the same time. I get a call one day, and it's like, hi, I'm your manager of PayPal. Do you want to buy some shares in PayPal because we're going public?
Did you?
I did. Okay. I'm an idiot that sold it on the open, where it actually bumped up a lot, and I borrowed some money to buy 1,000 shares. Mm-hmm. I think it came out at 16, and I sold it at 27, and hey.
Yeah. Made a little bit of money.
But you know, if you're in, and I think that's what's so great about, you know, all of us talking about today, if you're in the business, you see things, you know, you could see the natural progression of that being bought by eBay, why it was bought by eBay, mm-hmm. like everything going.
Even back then you could see that the secondary market in sneakers was going to be a thing.
It was a thing. I mean, I remember the first thing I put on eBay was a pair of retro fives, black. They weren't retro. They were the original fives. Mm. I wake up one day and the bid's at $400 and some odd. And I'm like, shit, I'm going to Yonkers. I'll be back in a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know.
So this was old stock that was at the store in Yonkers?
It was old stock. It was something where there were the days where you could call up. I mean, it's when Prestos came out. If you knew the stock numbers, you could call up. I mean,
I heard the A-Life guys talking about that too, that they used to like just call Nike and be like, hey, do you have this SKU number? And just
and who do you think gave them those numbers? Because I mean, it's
talk about it.
They took the game plan, Mike.
So you could just call for inventory and they would send it.
I mean, back then, Nike style numbers. I remember the day when Nike style numbers, I think it was 4 or 5 numbers. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember my high school basketball team, the JV, wanted Grape Fives.
Okay.
My dad called up Nike, ordered 26 pair of Grape Fives, and they were there in five.
That's awesome.
I mean, yeah. But again, back then, if I was that smart, I wouldn't, you know, I
feel that way sometimes too. Like,
no, because my dad didn't throw anything out. We had every single catalog of every single brand.
Oh, wow.
And I was, I remember throwing them all out.
Yeah.
But you guys have done this stock locate thing, right? Like, we used to do that on like the Nike Talk outlet thread, where people would post SKUs for certain shoes, and then you would just call, you could chat on Nike.com and ask them for like which outlets had the SKU, and then call and they would have the blue Air Max ones for $40.
And also, not apples to apples, but at Finish Line, if you got the style number, you could find, we were a store in New York, you could find a store in middle of the country, oh, they have one sneaker left.
Exactly.
And that was like the cheat code, because you're getting a style number, it's sold out everywhere except for this little part of the country, and we would just locate it as the store manager and be like, hey, we have a customer, can you send it to store 395 in Bayshore, New York? And it was like Terminators and like those leather Air Trainers.
Yeah.
You remember the first stash Air Forces, the high tops that came in the metal? I had to return the 24 pair back to Nike so they could actually do the release, because I had the style number. And
you found them in an outlet or what?
No, you called up Nike and you ordered them.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait, why did you have to return them?
Because my rep called me, my dad, and he's like, did you guys order these? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, well, do me a favor, you're going to make me look really bad. Because it literally was one rep for all of New York.
Mm-hmm. Who was the rep?
Chris Martin, who I still am in touch till now, who's
not the guy from Coldplay,
who moved to. Yeah, he's a great guy. He actually was the one who championed us once we. I mean, I knew him beforehand. He was my dad's rep, and he's now over in Portland.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow!
And he's doing stuff. He actually was with SB for a while when everything was talking about it. Nike, like, how to percolate it and get it back up and stuff like that. He knew the business like no other back then, and obviously still does. And it was like, you know, I need you to do this, but like either you're going to lose your account or I'm going to lose my job type deal. So they went back.
Speaking of
growing up. And Joe Thompson knew every single, because Joe was over at Nort back then.
Okay.
It was Joe and Neil.
Speaking of growing up in Yonkers, one of the people that you met really young was Jadakiss.
Mm-hmm.
You have like a real like special relationship. You were selling them sneakers back in the day. How did that happen? What was that like?
He was a kid on the corner.
Yeah.
And I can't go into much more than that. But, but whatever Jada does say is 1,000% true.
Okay.
Jada said that your job, a young Mike Packer's job at Packer Shoes, was to go to all the boys on the corner with all the new releases and let them know when new stuff was in the
that
store.
That actually is true, but it's he didn't. I was the one who had everybody's beeper numbers, and we also had a notebook that my dad in the front came, you know, kept all of the SAS orders or Timberland orders that he ordered for people, all the people that were coming in. And yes, I mean, we had it was a notebook that it was myself and my brother, but I was doing it mostly because we both had to be there because that's what it was. Mm-hmm. I had every beeper number when stuff did come in, and I remember vividly when Court Forces, Delta Forces came out the first time. Got in my parents' blue Acura, went up the street, went through, I mean, projects, I mean, mm-hmm. whatever it was. Yep. But, I mean, I have a pass there. I've had a pass there and mm-hmm. forever. And, yeah, just you tell them. And then then it's just like bees to honey. Yeah.
And one thing I would say is you definitely have a loyal clientele. I remember even back in the day when we were going to shoot Fabulous for sneaker shopping, and it was like it came through the pipes that he only wants to do it at Packer Shoes. And do you think it's because you were on the ground at such a young age, and the celebrity clientele was young back then? Do you think that you built that trust and that rapport, and that's why they're loyal to you now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Fab, I didn't get to know Fab until Teaneck, but I think it's just something that, and I've said this before, growing up in that store, working in that store, doing and having the 360-degree view of everything, mm-hmm. It was better than business school. It's better than anything. I mean, it's something where, you know, relationship-wise, to me, I still love seeing a customer enjoy a pair of shoes, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And it's something where, yes, Jada, and I mean, there were a lot of other guys. I mean, Hip, who we used in the Diodora thing that we did with Jada. I mean, that was, in our office that day, it literally was, they talked
Memory
over
lane.
And over and over. It was unbelievable.
What about Raekwon? I know you're real close with Raekwon, too.
Ray is through Teaneck.
Yeah.
You did the sneaker with him as well, the purple tape.
Yeah, we did the 20th anniversary. We also had him, actually, we got to know him first when we did the Saucony. We did it with Just.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then we had Ray perform when we did the Snow Beach release.
Right.
So that's how that relationship started. When Diodora first came back and we were doing stuff, Pato did it, then we did something. It was just natural. And I when we did that shoe, when we did the purple tape shoe, Ray was... One, he's with a great partner to do it with. He was 1,000% in. Mm-hmm. But he also can riff on Diodora. Like, he got it. He got it right away. And it was something where, I mean, he was involved. He was actually involved in the whole ideas design. I mean, Aaron, who you know forever, like,
of course.
Put everything together. And it was a couple other guys who were working for me back then where just all these ideas came. And I don't know. I'm smart enough to know when I don't know something or do hear something really, you know, there and let people ride with it. So it's that. But yes, to get a long-winded answer to your question is yes, relationships matter. And there have been some that are literally 30, 35 years old.
Last episode on the podcast, we kind of talked about the last decade in rappers shaping the influence of sneaker culture. The clientele that you deal with and what you just relayed is that like Raekwon could riff on Diodora. How do you feel about this new age and the younger generation of rappers moving the needle in terms of influence? It's something that you saw happening. Is it something that you appreciate? Do you not appreciate the older generation more, but do you see like the shift like we saw it? And how do you feel about that?
I mean, I appreciate it. I'll appreciate anything these days that looks halfway authentic, mm-hmm. right? And yes, there are guys who do it. I mean, you know, what Travis is doing, I mean, they're pushing the needle on that stuff. And listen, he's got...
You like the Travis Scott shoes?
For what they are, sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't wear them. I mean, but I do see it for what they are.
You get it.
And appreciate it, sure.
Which is like the best... I always say is like, that's the best answer. I totally get why this is happening.
Yeah, and straight up, I mean, I don't know how the 270s are going to sell, but it's not a bad 270.
Mm-hmm. I mean, straight up, was that a Travis Scott
ad lib? I knew you were going to say that. I knew you can't, Mike. You can't do anything around this guy. I knew he was going to say that.
I didn't do it purposely. I am not that smart.
I knew he was going to say it. Comparing to Travis's other models, 270 is kind of a tougher fit. Even that looks pretty decent.
But it's something where, again, like guys like that, you can. It's very easy to see through the facade of, you know, who's buying Dunks and wearing them because they're now the it thing, and mm-hmm. who's not. Mm-hmm. Is it my place to call those people out on this podcast? Absolutely not.
Why not?
Because that's your job. What full size run, and that's why.
Keep it separate. And again,
kudos to you guys. And this is totally off tangent, but when you guys asked me to do this, I listened to them. This is cool shit. It's needed for now, and I think now more than ever, the younger generation that was into all this has grown up, right? You guys are doing what you're doing mm-hmm. in media. Thankfully, there are guys who grew up understanding, who are now in positions of power, not power, but they can move the needle, whether it's at Nike, at Adidas, at Reebok, and it's really needed. And their voices, whether they were involved in this in the US, the UK, Japan, wherever it is, mm-hmm. I think that's what gives me hope and optimism for all this, because it's something where, I mean, we can go on for hours how this whole industry is fucked up at the moment, but there are a lot of positives.
One fucked up thing is the most fucked up thing in the industry right now? What grinds Mike Packer's gears?
I think that it's sort of an amalgam of things. It's something where, like, understand what you're doing. Don't be sheep. Don't be like these kids today, right? And it's like the unfortunate thing about it all with social media is, like, you can't call anybody out for it because then it'll just be taken the wrong way.
Yeah.
And it's the whole, to me, it's the loudest voice in the room type theory, mm-hmm. which society in general, but I think also in sneakers today and in this industry, it's something where if people would just take the time and understand and have their own following for things, I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, if you're going to want to ask me about product and projects and stuff like that, that's a totally different conversation.
I wonder if you feel like stuff like Travis Scott contributes to that, though. Like, is retail fucked in part because no young person wants to buy a shoe that isn't an off-white Nike or a Travis Scott Jordan or a Yeezy?
Yes, but I think that's what's something that sets us apart sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think
us being Packers shoes.
And everybody who works, you know, for me over the years, I mean, we've always stayed true to what we believe. I mean, I've made, obviously, mistakes over time, but you also have this innate, I mean, I was, the most fortunate thing is, and aside from being in the store every day, growing up in the era that I grew up in mm-hmm. of the business, that has literally shaped the last 17 years, and it will shape the next 25 years of this business. And to me, when a new shoe comes out and you're like, you have that holy shit moment and it's retroable,
yeah,
that's where, again, the optimism comes with things.
Do you feel the pressure around that product? Like, fuck, I have 200 pairs of Yeezys. How am I going to sell these things without people going crazy?
No. What do you mean?
Like, I wonder if...
It's just a hassle.
An extra burden when...
Not if you do it right.
Yeah.
Not if you do it right. And again, like, there have been customers, until like what Joe was asking me about before, there have been customers that we have had literally since day one, which, you know, they're Post-it note customers. And I will never back away from that. Like, if you get X amount of shoes, I mean, obviously we do what we do as far as raffles and stuff like that, but being as fair as possible with things. But if we have enough, God damn it, those people are getting held down. And there is absolutely nobody can tell me different. And these kids today, they don't understand that.
Because they'll say you're backdooring. You're backdooring.
I don't give a shit what they say. Yeah. And it's something where I know when you had Chris on, you know, when he went, was it the MoMA releases Air Force?
And they let him
online. That's few and far between. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is, whether you want to call it honor among thieves or anything else, it's all those older resellers that were out there and they understand. And that's something that I think is solely missing today from the youth.
Do you respect the resellers?
Do I respect the resellers?
Because I'm assuming on most of these releases, it's like resellers that are coming to your store.
I mean, listen, it is what it is. You cannot take that away from it. I think that companies sometimes dwell on it way, way too much. And I think that's when you had, when, you know, the Air Force anniversary, when they took, or, you know, they saw what Air Forces were doing, and you had the anniversary, and suddenly prices went up. There wasn't a release every, I mean, that's when you're looking at, whether it's flight or now it's StockX. Like, if you go into meetings and you go into product reviews and they're like, oh, what do you think this is going to do on StockX? It's like, really?
They ask you
like,
that. That's,
yeah. No, really, it's, you can tell that's, one, that's where it is and that's where it's going. Or when you're referencing product, they're referencing what it is on the app. And these are internal people.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm comfortable enough with some of it. It's like, shut the fuck up. Just make good product and move.
Yeah.
Right. And I think the 700 V3 is a great example of that. People want to talk about easy, dead, this, that, everything else. You put out good product, go give the 350 V2s to Dix. I don't care.
Yeah.
Right.
Just come with good product.
I think it's important for us too, because it's so easy for us to default to like judging how good a shoe it is by like how much it resells for, you know? And I think it's important to remind ourselves as critics that that's not like the grade or the barometer.
No, not at all. And I think we just came off a project with Diadora that we did right towards the end of the year, and we understand what it is. Thankfully, Diadora understands what it is now too. If you make good shoes, they will sell. You have to know your market. You know what your consistency has stood for over all this time, and what we can pull off, what we can't pull off.
Yeah,
and that thing sold. I mean, I was surprised that it sold out in 6 minutes, but it did. That doesn't mean to then go double down, but which is, you know, I think mistakes that maybe sometimes I've made over the years. But there is that customer out there that will go after, you know, the Barcelonas that were just released in Manchester. Like, and that, when stuff like that happens, that's like, you're like, ah, oh, you smile and you're like, that's fucking great.
Yeah.
We spoke about it though, but you made a shoe behind Adidas's back, essentially.
What was that?
That Ultra Boost. That, like,
that wasn't behind their back.
But like, so no one knew it was happening. You know, it was like a secret.
That was
a secret release.
No, people knew it was happening. I mean, there were product guys that knew it was happening. We didn't, listen, I want to say if the shoe was out there 2 years or 3 years before we dropped it, you know how all those Ultra Boosts were getting leaked on Instagram. The people in the factory don't give a shit about that anymore because they think that, you know, Boost is, an Ultra Boost is dead.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we did that project.
But it was kind of like a secretive project.
It really wasn't.
The hat's off, and he's probably in 2020.
The hat's off and the gloves are on.
Yeah, no,
I'll go toe-to-toe with you on that. No, it's actually, I mean, from Aaron and Victor, I mean, everybody who works on my end, we were very clear, like, how, you know, we want to release this. Adidas was fine with that. And yes, to a certain extent, internally, people didn't know about it, but that's the best thing that ever happened. And because, again, and this can go in a totally different tangents, it's like all of us who have survived and been around in, you know, the industry and have our stores and get to do projects, we've thankfully grown into little agencies all ourselves, right? Thankfully over the years and especially now, having talented, good people who care is something where, you know, companies now are trusting us with budgets, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a prove it theory, obviously, but yeah, it's we did our damn, yeah, good job. We did a really good job.
The other thing, you guys have done projects, so many projects with so many brands, but I feel like Nike is one that I like. You guys did the Vapor Tour 9 release in 2012, which was sort of like a Packer exclusive, if I recall correctly.
The Federer
mm-hmm. joints, but sure. Like, how come there's never been a Packer Nike shoe?
I don't know. You have to ask them. I mean, that's something where,
did it come close to happening at any point?
I mean, there were a lot of things talked about. I think there are a lot of things that Nike has come out with that I can sort of see that there's the DNA of maybe talking too much. And
you, like, think Nike took your ideas?
I'm not going there about anything at all. I can just say that it was a privilege and an honor to work on the Federer shoe. And just going back to the way things were, that when we saw the line, I mean, that was not even in the line. That was like found in the back of the performance tennis. And it's like, oh shit, this can actually be something.
A Tinker Hatfield shoe.
Yeah. And it was like, you know, I think, you look at it and you know there's something there. And when they came to us to do something, and it was Nike releasing it at the U.S. Open, and we were doing it, just had the exclusive with the store, and
right.
It was great. I mean, did that lead to other conversations about other tennis things that, you know, around that shoe? Yeah. Did some of those probably come out and stuff like that? Obviously, but it is what it is.
To that point, you have collaborated with so many brands. How do you navigate collaborating with different brands at different times and making sure, not that you don't piss any other brands off, but just, you know, throughout the year, you have a certain amount of slots to fill and you are collaborating with different brands month to month. How do you stay authentic and work with everyone that it's a trust situation that goes both ways?
I mean,
is it difficult? Is it easier said than done?
It's, I think if you have a great relationship with a company, I think it's very easy.
I can't even work with one brand.
Yeah. Juggling all
can
these brands.
Can you make that happen for him finally?
I mean, listen, I feel like Greg Popovich a little bit, just because
you
like
kind of look
Packer
like him a little bit.
No, but our you know, Popovich, as they talk about his coaching tree and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, Leo came through, you know, he's over at Reebok and he's doing great, great things over
there.
Shout
out to Leo.
I mean, my first manager who I had for a long time.
Dave Vericker, is it?
That is Dave Vericker.
And yeah, he's at Nike now.
It's not, I don't think it's really a coincidence that Nike started to right the ship when it comes to the energy stuff.
Real quick, so people know, Dave Vericker was at Packer Shoes, and then he was at Mercer for a long time, and now he's out in Beaverton, like high up. I don't know what his position
high,
is.
But he's pretty high up.
Yeah.
And to that point, the topic of the week has been, you know, Sean Weatherspoon just confirmed that he's getting an Adidas collab and a old clip surface from that show, The Sit Down, with our friend Don Drew. And
so basically he was on The Sit Down with the Don Drew, and he asked him, he goes, do you like Adidas or whatever? And he says, I never fucked with Adidas. It's something that has no nostalgia for
Adidas
it.
Adidas sucks is what he said.
I didn't know if he said that, but then he went on to say he's a Nike guy. He would let Nike shit down his throat. That was like the direct.
I took that clip.
But he said
forwarded to everybody at Adidas. Everybody.
Really? So you're snitching?
No, I'm not snitching. It's Tommy Lee Jones. You ever hear the word hinky?
No, what is that?
Okay. It's in one of his movies. It's from The Fugitive. He just used this word hinky, and they look at him like, what's hinky? It's like, well, it's hinky. You look at it and you just know it's hinky. That to me, it's like, why?
Why did he say
it? It cheapens your brand to me.
Whose brand?
Adidas. I really don't.
To work with Sean
Sean doesn't have a brand. I mean, Sean has Round 2. I mean, great.
I want to go on record here. This is not Brendan Dunn hating on Sean.
This is a question. This is a question that I want to get. Yeah, no, I have a great relationship with Sean. He was on the panel, and it's something that's happening, and the clip surfaced.
And again, I don't know whether anybody's put this out there. I mean, there's a link on Grailed. Go find it when, you know, the Round 2 shirts that said more air, less boost or something. It's like, again, I don't. I know what my reactions are. I know why they are what they are. I've learned in this business you cannot control what guys do. You just have to let them make their own mistakes. And if it is what it is. I mean, but it's, you know what it is? It's not, you can go, you can talk about it, this, that. To me, being in the business every day and being passionate about what we do and what, as Joe was saying, like doing things that make sense and navigating with companies.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
He's like that. It's disappointing.
Yeah.
It's really disappointing. It's like, really? You have all these other things that you can be doing. Like, to me, you have Blondie. Look at that video that they put out with Blondie for his Superstar.
Mm-hmm.
That's unbelievable.
The see-through joints.
Right. Yep. But yeah, not just that it's the shoe, but the way that it was all put together. You have an asset like that, and then you turn the next week and you announce something like this, or like you let Sean do it. And again, I never want to take money out of anybody's mouth or anything like that. But
or shit.
Oh,
come on, Don.
Do you think...
But don't chase. It seems that they're chasing. Don't chase. Lead. Don't chase.
As long as it's on record here that this is not Brendan Dunn hating on Sean Witherspoon, this is not a story planted by me or anything like that.
Stop. All right, there's no hate. It's just a discussion. Come on.
This is a a good piggyback off of that because he went on to actually tell Complex Sneakers that he loved the Samba growing up. He used to buy them at Modell's. It was one of his favorite sneakers. You dealing with the sneaker industry and a lot of nostalgia, do you think a lot of people fake the funk when it comes to, I used to love this shoe back in 1987, or they're doing it just to sell a story?
I mean, the internet's a beautiful thing. You can do histrionics, in about 10 seconds. Again, like we said before, it's very easy to see through things, right?
Also very tough to quantify how much he loved the shoe. If he did, you could love the shoe for a month,
I'm setting this one out.
I'm just saying, though, he could have loved the shoe for 3 months. Is that not enough love to
love
it?
No, I'm not saying that, but his other quote said that he never fucked with it back in the day. That's all.
Again, but it's also, it's like, even if you track it back a little bit, hey, Atmos, Homeo, they want to do an A6 with them. I mean, with
that shoe looks nice.
It's not a bad looking shoe.
It's a good shoe.
But if you're Adidas, you're not just sloppy seconds now, you're third.
Mike, do you understand it on some level in terms of trying to work for the brand? Do you ever worry about that? Not pissing brands off, because Nike at this point controls so much. They're tightening distribution. They want to do direct to consumer on everything. And it has to hurt for a small business owner like you.
The release is only going to sneakers and things like that?
Yeah.
No, I think that if you look at Nike the way they're doing it, Adidas, to a certain extent, as well. There obviously is this shortening of stores going out of business, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I think the way that it's all going, and again, Nike, I think, learned a long, probably 7-8 years ago, that going direct to consumer and really, really making that the focus takes away energy a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It does. And, with Adidas, with that happening, and when Adidas had this perfect storm of Boost and then NMD and Ultra Boost and Nike being where they're doing, I think that you have to take a very hard look at yourself as a company. And they righted that ship, right? So D2C is never going away. Ever,
right.
Ever. It will not. And you have to understand it from a business perspective that it will not. I think that you will have, obviously, Nike or any of the companies there.
Mm-hmm.
You will have your stores on top that I think these companies understand that drive energy.
Yeah. Does it scare you when they say we're going to cut out undifferentiated retail?
I don't know what that definition is, but
yeah.
But I don't want to be in that pool. I think that, we do enough good things, and I think our channel, whoever those stores that have been around for a while and doing what we do, bring energy to the brands in different ways. I mean, that Ultra Boost that we did, straight up, that should have come out of them for the 5th anniversary. We did a better job at it, right? And are there other ones that we saw that are sort of coming out now that takes the DNA from what we did? Yeah, but you know what? I'll take it as a compliment, and you move on to the next.
Speaking of Adidas and consortium and all that sort of stuff, it's supposed to be one big happy family. Sometimes they kind of paint it where it's all the retailers are the best buds, and I know a lot of you are. Are you guys still really competitive with each other, or is it still this one big happy family behind the scenes?
I'll tell you a story. I remember where I was sitting. It's still in Teaneck day to day when Peter from Sneakers and Stuff put me on an email with Karsten, who heads up sales and a lot of other things over at Adidas from Germany for Consortium, and hey, you may not know who Mike is, or just because the relationship with Europe, I don't know if you remember way back then, a lot of the European stores had a much deeper relationship with Adidas because they were based much there. Peter put us both on an email. I think the next week or so when Karsten was in New York, I mean, we met. I mean, I had the consortium account right then and there. That logo that Adidas has, it's the premise of what consortium is, whether it's strayed from that a little bit and stuff now, here or there, but that's one of the, that's still to me like one of the best premises. And the way over the years that product has been released and really kept tight and the partnerships that are there.
You don't feel competition with the other guys in the circle?
No. I again, and shout out to Jimmy Manley from Adidas who made it happen, and it all came from something else. But the I had this brainstorm idea of doing something called the Foreign Exchange Program, which we were going to be doing something with SNS and Hannon and somebody in Asia, and that sort of morphed into the sneaker exchange. That
Mike, all these stores you're mentioning are stores overseas. I feel like there must be some competition. New York, East Coast boutiques. I'm gonna tell a story, and you don't have to comment on it. You don't have to comment on it.
Sure.
I went to a Mike Packer party in 2015. I've been to many Mike Packer parties. Which always a good time. This was, I think, for the Casino Just Blaze Saucony shoe. And I had on a Ronnie Feig Diadora shoe, which I still think are hot. And I showed up.
7,000?
It's the maroon ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I showed up and you weren't happy with me.
And that's
normal.
I thought you were joking at first. But even your family who were present were like looking at me like,
that's normal competition. I'm not right.
That's Mike. Yes, I guess. I mean, if you're coming, listen, you're pandering to me today. You're both wearing.
Look at them.
Aside from La Puma, you're both wearing.
I kept the neutral.
Exactly.
Let the record show.
These guys, these homers, are both wearing Packer collabs.
I thought Joe would throw up for the Kith set on that one.
I have the Kith 1942 bottle. If we want to have a post podcast drink,
sure. But no, I mean, you're trying to drag me into something with that smile on your face that really needs nothing. All of us that are, like I keep saying, all of us that are around now have gone through a lot. I mean, I remember, and when Ronnie was releasing, you know, I probably still have the text on my phone when Ronnie was releasing the first ASICs. And, you know, congratulations. I mean, it's something where I mean, he's built a tremendous, tremendous business. That, to me, there's no competition. I mean, we do what we do. I've learned over the years, keep your head down and just keep doing your thing. And I mean, especially over the last few, and it rings out. I mean, it's something where, you know, doing a podcast like this and talking about stuff like this, it's something where, I mean, I wanted to do this just because I think that, again, guys, we've been around for a while. Guys who know, but yeah. I think it's something, and I'm hoping, you know, the youth of today do listen to stuff like this because, you know,
we have the analytics; they're listening.
Yeah. And one quick question: did you ever have the urge to go back to New York recently, or a decade ago, or anything?
Yes,
you did.
Yes,
did you ever come close to, or yeah?
Ashburton Avenue in Yonkers is literally the same as it was when we left. I mean, it's funny. We've done a photo shoot with Jada there. We actually released some Yeezys in front of the old store with the Lundmarks, I believe. Yeah, the Yeezy Lundmarks. It is exactly the same. The Rummies are the same Rummies across the street. The Winos are the same.
That's awesome.
But the best is, I mean, I have this on video, is like when we were there, they come and they ask about my mom. They ask about my dad. It's unbelievable. Would I love to go back over there and do something? It would mean a ton. It would mean a ton to me. I mean, is there other things, obviously, that we're in the midst of doing now and you know, hopefully in the future? Sure. Sure.
Do you ever miss the Wild Wild West days of sneaker retail, or are we still in those days?
1,000%. Well, I think it's different, a little bit different, but listen. Social media is a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
Really is. Yeah. Do I miss being in the store and being on Hypebeast and seeing the Union 180s show up and literally losing your shit?
Yeah.
Yes, they do. But I think it's something where that can come back. I think what we did with Ultra Boost, I think what we did with the Diadora, I think that these type of releases where you can actually just walk into a store and get something, it's up to the retailer, really. I mean, I think, and that's why I think when, you know, when we're talking about projects and having the ability to do things with companies, obviously it's relationships, but it's doing it hand in hand with them to a certain extent, where everybody's benefiting. And I think that's why we do have, thankfully, have the opportunities to work across brands mm-hmm. and over time keep it consistent.
But you also, you were like part of Ewing Shoes, right? Like bringing them back?
I was. I was integrally involved in bringing that back. I'm not involved anymore. There's a backstory to all that. I mean, when I graduated law school, I cold called David Falk to Rockville, Maryland, because it was a story on him.
This is David Falk from ProServe?
This is David Falk from ProServe, and when he was Michael Jordan's agent, mm-hmm. and there was an article about him in Sports Illustrated, I was the schmuck who called for whatever information was in Rockville, Maryland, got some number, called him about 7:30 at night. He answered in his house, told me to call back the next day, and it was my first summer of law school, wanted to go into the business. He was very nice, put me in touch with, you know, his assistant. Didn't have anything for me, but in my mind, I just said, one day I want to do something with him.
Yeah.
And when we really got to the final stages of doing the Ewing deal, I told David that story.
Awesome.
And, I'm still friendly with him now. I mean, it's eye-opening to me. And again, we've been through a lot of this stuff, and any of us in retail have it, where you have athletes who are clientele and stuff like that. If you look at the roster that David had over the years, whether it's Jordan, Carmelo, Iverson was with him for a minute, but a lot of other guys that are there now, Othella Harrington, the whole Georgetown crew, you don't see a story on any of them that listened to David, that are now doing appearances at Madison Square Garden, because they need it.
We got to touch on every Mike Packer business venture. What happened with A-Life too? I want to talk about A-Life.
On the Ewing side of things.
Yeah.
It was something where I know what it literally was, the holy grail of back then when the retro basketball was
totally
hot. Nobody could ever get the brand because it was such a bad breakup that Patrick had.
Really?
People tried for years. There was a distrust because originally it was YC Kim. It was out of Korea. I mean, mm-hmm. there were federal lawsuits over the first time it came out because there was so much product going from the factories to different countries in Europe and stuff like that. So there was a distrust that Patrick had. He never would do it. There were multiple people trying to do it. I get accused all the time of being very stubborn, and this one I was. But at the end, it's something that David and Danielle, who's been with him forever over there, they basically said that, if it wasn't me involved and kept doing it, they wouldn't be as trustworthy with it. And I can look back at that, and I mean, we did a phenomenal job with it when it first came out. I mean,
it made a splash.
It made a splash. I think it pissed some other brands off. But to me, it's all karma to everything. I mean, my birthday is August 5th. Patrick's birthday was August 5th. Nice. So
we all know how easy it is to piss off a sneaker brand.
But again, it's something where you just keep your head down and keep doing your thing. And I think all of the retailers that's to me where when I said disappointing before, this business is so, and again, maybe it's me talking off the cuff, but it's so easy if you do it right. Yeah. We had a list of retailers that were all the best boutiques around the country. Every one of them made a shit ton of money that had that stuff for the first couple years. A shit ton of money.
The Ewing accounts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you know what? The public, you can make a business. The public doesn't have to know how many pairs are made.
Right. But I wish we did sometimes.
Yeah.
You gotta float those numbers to me, man. I need to see the notebook.
But it's something where sometimes it's perception, and it's there is a real business. And when I listened to one of your other podcasts when, 22,000 pair of the turtle doves.
Yeah.
That's shit. Mm. That is nothing.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, the Ewing business gave me a perspective on a lot of things. I think, us doing our collabs and with numbers, how they were, and that gave me a lot of perspective on things, but yeah.
The collaboration game died too, right, basically? Not
I don't think it died.
Not died, but to the extent where, used to be 5,000 pairs of, ASIC shoe dropping.
Oh, yeah, 300's the new 3,000.
Wait, Mike, I didn't forget about this. What happened with Packer and A-Life? In the brief marriage that was Packer
no,
and A-Life?
When was that? No, it's not brief at all.
Okay.
I mean, it's something where, look, I know I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today if they were not in business, period.
Shout out to Rob.
Period.
Yeah.
All those guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, going back to what we talked about before, Demaney and I would be on the phone all the time, like, oh shit, you know, Nike customer service has, you know, this, this, and this. And I vividly remember calling up when they had the Bo Jackson, the 91s. Demaney sold a ton. We sold a ton. It was like, it was one of those things back then when he was at A-Life. So the A-Life story probably, I mean, it's probably something, you know, can't give you guys a suggestion, but yeah. It's a story that can be told probably for hours. And, you know, I look back at that, and before having the opportunity, it's I think, you know, probably one of the more squandered opportunities, I think, that were in our industry. I think they should have been sold way back for a lot of money. But again, I've learned that people are stubborn sometimes. I've learned that
Packers shoes no longer involved with A-Life.
No. So the long and short story of it was, when we were doing stuff with ASICS, when ASICS had, you know, all the collabs, they had a project around the New York City Marathon with A-Life.
Mm-hmm.
And we were pretty close to those guys. A-Life.
That was a good collection.
It was a great collection, and it was never going to come to life because whatever the reasons were, A-Life didn't have credit lines, whatever, you know, to bring it out. And we did it together with them. We did the lookbook. We did all that stuff. We got it going. There is a story around the whole release where, you know, and listen, it was plain to see when people are lining up for all the product and stuff like that, where, you know about a lot of people and you know a lot of things when you're doing a project. You don't know everything, obviously, but when the marshals show up that day to lock the pads on the door because the rent isn't being paid, and that was a total part of the whole thing at A-Life. But the release went great. I think that got them back on the map.
Mm-hmm.
Never in my wildest dreams did I think it was just going to be this one project and out, and we would figure out the revenue. But I just was, I don't know, felt something.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known Trey forever. I've gotten to know Rob. Trey, you know, when it comes to this, he's been through a lot.
Yeah, we had him on an earlier version of Full Size Run, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And sometimes he's very hard-headed, but it then morphed into, okay, let's see if we can make this thing go. We got it back on its feet. Thankfully, I can sit here today and not have to worry about how payroll is getting paid at A-Life or anything like that. Where it goes from here, I mean, I am more than happy to see it do well because I
can. We need A-Life. The world needs
it. But you're out of it.
No, I'm not out of it. Oh, no, I wanted to. I'm not involved with the day to day.
That's what I mean.
But yeah, I mean, does it do well and do I see a benefit from that? Sure.
Like we mentioned, these guys are wearing two collabs. We've talked a lot about collabs. I want to go around and have us. We kind of always end the podcast on like one question, a favorite here or favorite there. Welty, what's your favorite Packer collab?
I like these ones a lot. People can't see I'm wearing the ZX9000. It was a New Jersey shoe that you done. The only thing, Mike, I wish you didn't do on this sneaker, it's one of those pet peeves of mine that when a retailer tries to do something they think is a really cool detail and it ends up not being the best for wearing the shoe.
I wish you guys could see Mike's face right now.
Mike's
trigger meter.
The leather liner on the shoe is one of those things that it seems more premium, but when you wear it, your foot slides in and out
of it. Okay, so I was actually outvoted. I do not like leather interiors either, but
it's like wax laces.
Aaron is the people who work for me are a hell of a lot smarter than me, so... I mean, I don't like the fact that every Adidas ZX shoe has laces that are just, you can wrap them around three times, but that's just something else. But again, you can bring that up with Aaron. You have his number. Go text him.
Yeah. big up to Aaron, a guy who taught me a lot. I think my favorite Packer collab, going back a ways, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff that people forget about, like the New Balance 999s were super clean.
Oh, the one after they had the Trump thing and we released it the week after? Absolutely, it was great.
Purple Tapes is very high up, but I think the Michael Chang pumps from 2011, the Roland Garros pair, I still have those dead stock sitting, again, in a closet in Oregon. I'm waiting for the right moment. A Reebok shoe. Oh, a Reebok boy. Shoe. So
we're going for you to sell them or to wear them.
We might.
Bad's still not here.
Bring those out one day, but I think that's my favorite Packer color.
Yeah. Thank you. I mean that whole package that we did, the whole Packer.
Yeah,
Slam
the Grand Slam.
Thing,
yeah.
That actually, I have to give credit where credit's due. I mean, I was talking about that idea for probably 2 years,
and a brand didn't take it from you.
No, I couldn't get in front of anybody. Clark
at Reebok. Clark sounds familiar.
No, Clark.
Sounds very familiar.
Clark Kent, I remember the day he introduced me to Matt Ting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
talked about it.
Big up Matt Ting and Dave Ting.
We can talk about all these collaborations. I remember the morning that I got a call from Matt where he's like, hey, we're doing this thing called Pump 20.
Right.
And we want you to be involved. It was something where he and Matt and I are still friends till today.
And this is Matt Ting who would go on to establish the Reebok Certified Network, right?
With Ryan Cross, yes.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
so he called and he's like, hey, we want to have you part of it. And realizing that every other 19 partners that were there probably had done multiple collaborations back then. But he's like, I know there's something there. And we ended up doing that. And then that led to, I think the Grand Slam pack was our second thing we did with them. But then we had a nice run with
Stash.
The Omni Pumps, yeah. the Dominique ones. We mm-hmm. did, I mean, to me, you know, the Kobe run. I mean, not the Kobe, the Iverson run that we did with them. A lot mm-hmm. of things with that.
Iversons.
The for player use only pack. Yeah. I mean,
any legal trouble around that?
I had none.
You had none. Did
no, they didn't because you know it actually. What you're talking about, which the LJ23 on the
yeah.
Again,
whatever that could stand for.
Did you send LeBron James a pair?
Maybe.
Those are fire.
You know what? And that is one thing, and I've learned this over time. We made way, and that was at the height of when collaborations were selling like hotcakes. We made way too many of those things.
Too many units every time, right?
No, of that, and you know, you learn lessons. But that one, yes, there. But if you look back at what that is now, I mean, to me, I just love that whole project. Did it get me other friends and maybe other parts of the industry? Probably not. Mm-hmm. But you gotta respect it.
Joe, favorite Packer collab?
I really love that Iverson collab with the two colorways. I have two favorites, though. One, I don't know if it was necessarily an official collab, the Bradley Carbone Adidas SL.
Mm-hmm. That was also a Matt Ting production
when
he was over at Adidas.
The family walk, the friends and family walk that you guys did. Bradley Carbone basically was one of the people that gave me my start in the industry. Mm-hmm. I couldn't make the walk. But he is a complex pioneer, and to see you guys do that project was just amazing. And, you know, I think everyone who is close to Bradley respected that so much. And then the other one, on a lighter note, the Bill Belichick starter jacket, the red starter jacket. Mike,
we had a nice
people don't do. Did people respect that as much as they should? I bought it. It was one of the first times I emailed, I forget who it was. It might have been Aaron.
Probably.
I'm sure it was Aaron. Yeah.
You had emailed like Carl Banks. Like,
no, but I emailed Carl Banks. That's the guy who like did the starter licensing. Yeah. But if you're a Giant fan, the 1990 Super Bowl, Belichick had that satin starter jacket on. My friend, I'm a diehard Giant fan, but my friend is like, his mood is ruined if the Giants lose, and they've been losing a lot. So I got him the jacket. And I didn't.
He's changed his life.
He's not savvy about like releases or anything. So I just emailed Aaron. I got it. And I gave it to him, and he wore it to the game like the next week. And Leonard Marshall was like, "Where'd you get that jacket?" To me, sneakerheads may not know the extent of how special it was, but any Giant fan knows it was a brilliant, brilliant project. And just
man, that's fucked up because awesome. You know Aaron gave you the jacket thinking you were going to wear it on sneaker shopping and get some real promo.
I think that especially, and I mean, it's something where over time we've been able to cross over it because again like I said before, if you keep true to what you are, I mean, you know, we're heritage, we're sport, mm-hmm. we're and that's what, you know, thankfully the heritage part is there because of, you know, being born into it and growing mm-hmm. up in the era and stuff like that, but sports have always been part of every single thing. I mean, there's been a lot that have been left on the drawing, you know, room table because of all that, but with Starter, it was epic, and it proved just something to us where it's like we can do these other type of releases and projects, and the way we did it. And if I remember right, we had those in Jersey City, and we had the players, I think, there mm-hmm. and stuff like that when we did it. And yeah, that was a total other customer base that we obviously knew exists.
Yes.
And we knew, like, when we did the Syracuse and, you know, stuff mm-hmm. like that, there's a way to get people to open their eyes. And,
definitely.
And you know, that's led, you know, thankfully, to whether it's, you know, consulting for some teams or stuff like that, where, you know, they see that. I think, again, you know, Fanatics is what Fanatics is.
For sure.
But there are so many different ways to skin a cat in this. If you're part of what this is, you can move it to so many different parts of what's going on today. Listen, it also got us probably about, I don't know, 15 or so Giants who were customers just because they, that's so, when Yeezys were like, yeah, it was a bunch.
That jacket, in New York Giants apparel history, that jacket is at the top of recognizability.
Mike, what's your favorite Packer shoes collab if you had to pick one? Which you do.
Picking his children,
right? Yeah. I can tell you which are my least favorite.
Not for that.
Well, if you're not honest with yourself, you're not. I mean, as much as we did with Reebok, if I could do away with the Four Seasons pack, I never would have pushed that. And then actually people were telling me, like, just shut up and it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
Second colorway of the Kamikaze we never should have done because that was...
That was the red one, right?
Yeah, it looks supposed to look like a chili pepper.
Right.
Good in premise, but yeah, can't, whatever. But when it comes to, Asics that we did, the Gel Light 3 for the anniversary, that meant a lot to me because, I mean, Aaron made it come to life, but it's something where I'm like, hey, why don't we do something like old school and sort of package it up and stuff like that? That means a ton. I think that a lot of the stuff that we've had done that's had other, you know, meanings behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when stuff comes off right, you know, you have the ability to look back and just smile about it. I think what we did with Raekwon was great.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was so, I mean, that was at a time, if you want to go back, I mean, we did the release over at SOBs.
I was there.
And that line was down the block for hours and hours, and you know, Ray then did his thing. We did the ice cream truck.
Shout out to Mikey Likes It.
Yes, and
a wonderful guy.
Yes, 100%. We were one of the first to do projects with him, like, yeah, when he was doing that stuff.
I ran into him the other night down in the East Village, and then 2 hours later, I was eating a cheeseburger with peanut butter and ice cream on it. True story.
What we did with sneakers and stuff for Token 38, I mean, that whole project to me was great. I mean, that was something that was literally born out of sitting at a table. And
I still have some signed Shaq sneakers from that event
sitting in my room. That whole 3 days, I mean, we literally, industry people have said it. I mean, we won All-Star Weekend. Aside from the 750s coming out,
yeah,
like, that was, it was great.
My favorite moment from that, I think it's a kind of funny place to tie up on, that I think it shows your personality a little bit, as I remember you were like seating, you know, the industry people who had come to the party, and Peter from Sneakers and Stuff went, he's like, what shoe do you want? And he got me like an Instapump, right? And then you're like there in the back room and he's like, all right, Instapump size 11.5. And you're like, that's it. No more fucking sneakers that were given out to anyone.
It's for you. I apologize.
I don't think you even saw the situation,
I've been accused of giving away too much stuff. So, I mean, it really must have been. It must have been overboard. The other thing about Token 38 is this goes back to Leo again. That's the first time we ever did anything with Eric. First time I ever met Eric, really.
Eric Emanuel.
Doing some stuff.
Part of the Packer family.
Yes, 100%. And what he's grown into in the business, yeah, and everything else has been phenomenal. That was the first time we ever did anything with him. We had his jerseys when he was doing the jerseys.
That's what it was. Gotcha. Yep.
So,
listen, this has been a great conversation. I feel like we could have went on for hours.
Oh, yeah.
We have to do a part two. If the podcast makes it to episode, 100, maybe we'll do a part two?
Once these sponsors really start kicking in the dollars and extending the life of this thing.
Mike, we can't thank you enough. Like we discussed, give some good insight to the glory days of sneaker retail, and we brought it to 2020, and you're our second guest on the podcast, and couldn't think of anyone who would be better to tell these tales of retail.
The problem is, like, your age is going up. Like,
yeah,
Chris is young. I mean, I'm older than Chris. I don't know.
Really?
I don't know who you're going to pull out next.
Okay,
I
mean, yeah.
Get Sam Siegel on here. He can riff for a while.
Mike, where exactly, just the people listening, where can they find Packer shoes in 2020?
Find us in Teaneck, where we just redid the store last year. Yeah. I mean, Jersey City is actually under a bit of renovation now.
Uh-huh.
We'll probably be open in hopefully about another 45 days.
Yeah.
From now,
and what's coming in 2020? Can you give us a little teaser? What kind of collabs we can expect? Anything like that, Mike?
I think to Joe's point, I think we've kept consistent and try and keep going with everybody else. And
what was that sign?
Just give me something, Mike.
What do you? I mean,
What, you want
to... Can I tell you we have a Stan Smith coming with your face on it? I mean, yeah.
I don't know what he's looking for.
Exactly.
It might be better than a Sean Weatherspoon Stan Smith.
Stop it.
I don't know whether it's a Stan Smith
stop
or not.
Stop it. He told us it wasn't a Stan Smith.
Okay.
Sean told Complex it's not a Stan Smith.
I don't know. I don't know anything.
I can't possibly weigh in on that.
You're the one who started the whole thing, but... Anyway, Mike, thanks so much for coming through.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Really appreciate the conversation.
Yep.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you. And the extended Packer family. Everybody we mentioned, Aaron, Leo, Dave Vericker.
Victor. I mean, there are some great people there. Victor, Brittany is there, who Chris, I mean, he was going through the whole Flight Club litany.
Yeah.
Like, when it comes to Brittany, he literally took her, saw her talent, took her off the street, put her in the Flight Club mode, and she's been doing her thing for years as well. And everybody else I have working for me who make my job easier every day.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone, for tuning into the Complex Sneakers podcast. If you are enjoying the content, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. We will be here every week, Friday, 6 a.m., and tell a friend to check us out. Thank you. Our podcast producer is Shiva Bayet. Sound engineering done by Craig Clayton. Special thanks to Dave Matthews and Alejandro De Jesus. The Complex Sneakers Podcast is a production of the Complex Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.